Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, time with your family and friends. This is my favorite holiday of the year. We got plenty of things to be thankful for, don't we? Amen. God is good to us. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful to be able to gather together today, Lord, and around your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless our gathering. Bless Brother Wade as he's preparing, Lord, and bless our hearts, Lord Jesus, to prepare us to receive what you have in store for us today. I pray you'll bless this little study as we go through these scriptures, Lord God, and just quicken it to us. Give us something to help and encourage, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen. Now we're on Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, that says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, which is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." And so we've just kind of been diving into this. Remember them which have the rule over you. And, you know, if you really study that out, there's two ways that either the word of God will claim your life and the Holy Ghost is actually ruling you through the preaching of the true gospel, or man's ideas will rule over you. And And so we've kind of been examining that Nicolaitan spirit that began to move in the very first church age, that Antichrist spirit to limit the moving of the Holy Ghost and to counteract that. And so, you know, remember them which have the rule over you. You really think about, maybe one example would be Philip running up to that Ethiopian eunuch and the Ethiopian eunuch saying, I want to understand what I'm reading here. And Philip saying, do you understand? And he sits down with him and begins to explain. And as he explains the word, something begins to grab hold of that man's heart. And he, you know, they pass by some water as they're riding in that chariot. And he says, what prevents me from going down and getting baptized? So what's ruling in there in that situation? Not a man's idea, but the word is actually claiming his life and begins to see what that scripture in Isaiah is talking about, and begins to identify Jesus Christ with the scriptures and begin to say, well, you're telling me how to be baptized and who this man is, and I want to fulfill the scripture. So he goes, the word is actually moving him to do that. And counteract that with, on the other side, down through the dark ages and down through history, you've got priests, you know, like this picture, a man with his eyes blinded, he can't see the scripture. You got somebody leaning over his shoulder, like the priest telling him, well, I'll tell you how to get somebody out of purgatory. You need to pay me some money. Give me your cow, and that'll fund my prayers to get somebody out of the purgatory. And they're actually limiting the moving of the Holy Ghost, because how can the Holy Ghost move across false doctrine? And so they got that organization is actually preventing God from being able to move in the fullness that the full gospel that we have in this hour is so important. It's supposed to unleash the ability of the Holy Ghost to move fully in our lives. Amen. So what is Nicolaitanism? Why did God hate their deeds? If you go back and examine. So that's really what we're talking about. That rule, that man's ideas ruling over people, ruling over the situation instead of the Holy Ghost. Now, Brother Branham said in the first seal, he said, now remember, let's just take our time and read some of these quotes. He said, now remember about the time Christ come on the throne, the Antichrist come on the throne, Judas. About the time Christ went off the earth, Judas went off the earth. Just about the time the Holy Spirit come back, the Antichrist come back. You know, John said over here, little children, I would not have you ignorant. You know about the Antichrist, which he's already come and working in the children of disobedience. The Antichrist, then, there he was, began to form in there the Nicolaitan spirit to make an organization. So now we're just labeling things. Nicolaitan spirit, Antichrist spirit, mystery of iniquity, tack all those things together. That's what he's talking about. The Antichrist spirit then that was begin to form there, and the Nicolaitan spirit to make an organization. He said, no wonder I hated that thing. See, there you are. It wasn't me. It was something in here. There's the thing. It's come out. You see it? I was all around the sides of it. I couldn't see it till now. I know it now. There it is, that Nicolaitan spirit God hated. And now that spirit become incarnate, and they crowned it. And here it is right here, what the Bible said they do with it. Perfect. Where does it say that he hated it? Back there in Revelation chapter 2, under the angel, right when it first started moving, under the angel of the church of Ephesus. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and in verse 6, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, as we study this out, you can really kind of begin to see why God would hate that. Because he wants the true gospel to be preached so that he can have liberty in the congregation to be able to move and to do, to baptize with the Holy Ghost, to be able to fill people with the Spirit. And that Nicolaitan idea, that man's idea that's contradicting it, was really the devil, prevents that. So you see these two things, these two things, God moving with a genuine moving, and something that's fake, the Antichrist spirit, the devil moving, taking just one word off, twisting the thing so that God can't move. Now Brother Branham said in the second seal, he said, now watch, first Nicolaitan. The Nicolaitan was called in the Bible Antichrist because it was against the original doctrine of Christ and the apostles. Now, I've got a little picture here that shows the first seal, and you can see these two forces juxtaposed. You've got a lion on one side and then a white horse on the other side. And what did Brother Ram say in the first seal? He said, that's that white horse rider under the way of a white righteous church, but an Antichrist. It's got to look like on a horse, even just like Christ is coming on a horse. So close, it deceived the very elect. Here he is. He's the Antichrist. He started riding in the first church age. Now he rides on down through every age. So what's that white horse signifying? That Nicolaitan Antichrist spirit, or an anointed one, starting off something to counteract the real genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the first seal, Brother Ram said, at the end time, these books that's been rolled up all this time with these mysteries in them is broken. Then out comes the mystery to see what it is. But actually, they started forth at the first church age, because at the first church age received the message. A white horse rider went out. See, who is he? He's mighty in his conquering power, as a great fellow in his conquering power. You want me to tell you who he is? He's the Antichrist. That's exactly what he is. Now, because you see, if an Antichrist, Jesus said that the two would be so close together until it would deceive the very elected, the bride, if it was possible. What's going to keep you from being deceived, though? A true understanding of the word. You got a revelation, a real revelation that's been unfolded to you. And you won't be able to be deceived in this if the word is fully unfolded to you. Antichrist, it's the Antichrist spirit. And in the Ephesian church age, he said, what the church had at Pentecost is her inalienable right. Originally, she had the pure word of God. She had the power of the Spirit manifested in diverse signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost. That original church was not organized by men. It was led by the Holy Ghost. There's what God wants. God wants each individual in the church to be led by the Holy Ghost and have their own relationship with God. It wasn't very big. It was hated and despised. It was oppressed. It was persecuted unto death. But it was true to God. It stayed with the original word pattern. And in the Pergamene church age, he said, you will recall that I brought out in the Ephesian age that the word Nicolaitan comes from two Greek words, Nikeo, which means to conquer, and Leo, which means the laity. Nicolaitan means to conquer the laity. Now, why is this such a terrible thing? It is terrible because God has never placed his church in the hands of an elected leadership which moves with political mindedness. He has placed his church and the care of God-ordained, Spirit-filled, Word-living men who lead the people through feeding them the Word. He has not separated the people into classes so that the masses are led by a holy priesthood. It is true that the leadership must be holy, but then so must be the whole congregation. Further, there is no place in the word where priests or ministers or such mediate between God and the people, nor is there a place where they are separated in their worship of the Lord. God wants all to love and serve him together. Nicolaitanism destroys those precepts and instead separates the ministers from the people and makes the leaders overlords instead of servants. Now, we're examining that Nicolaitan spirit. He said in the Ephesian church age, he said, well, here we'll take it. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And the pastor came down and preached a fine sermon and said, give me the right hand of fellowship and we'll put your name on the book. That don't sound right, does it? You might get that. You couldn't get that in an almanac. They know better than that. The old lady's birthday almanac is more correct than that would be. Well, what caused that then? The Nicolaitan bringing in a bunch of men to twist up the scripture and make a denomination. Now, here's the clincher. Here's the essence of that Nicolaitan spirit that can't let God move in it. That can't let God move. Dies right there. Then he said, you're dead. You got a name, you're living, but you're dead. Many of them dead and don't know it. In the Sardisian church age, he said it was quite a large church at the beginning, but they started a denominational spirit coming among them, trying to denominate the church, which was called the Deeds of the Nicolaitans. The Deeds of the Nicolaitans. Now, it wasn't a doctrine yet. And then we took the word and broke it down. What was deeds? What was Nicolaitan? That's a foreign name to us. So I took the Greek and broke it down. And Nico means to conquer or to overcome or overthrow something. Nicolaitan, a deed that was trying to overthrow the laity and put all the blessing, and the only one to read the Bible, the only one to give the interpretation, would be the bishop or some great head person of the church. Why is that so bad? Because God wants you to have your own personal relationship. God wants you to experience the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. God wants you to experience the liberty of the Holy Ghost in your life. And when you got a priest like that picture, I lean it over your head, that picture that we were looking at, and your eyes are blinded and it's all put on somebody else, then that's contrary to what God wants to see done in your life. God wants you to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Right. In the Ephesian church age, Brother Ram said, now Paul's wolves had become Nicolaitan. They were trying to form a priesthood like the Levitical priesthood, which was foreign to the New Testament doctrine. The word Nico means to conquer, overcome. Overcome what? The laity, the Holy Spirit. Take out of the church the resurrected Lord Jesus with signs and wonders among the believers and put men voted in to be a pope or a carnal cardinal or an overseer trying to take the Holy Ghost away from the laity and give it to an order called the Holy Order of Men, placing them over the laity. Not to call them pastors, which means shepherds, but father, which Jesus said, don't you call no man father on this earth. See that evil thing? And what did we do? Why do you not call any man father? Because you didn't get that eternal life from a man. You got it from God. God is your father. When you're begotten of him, he's put his own life in you, and you call him father. Brother, that's why we go back to that quote that we've been reading. It is the word that rules us. This is Brother Branham explaining that scripture. Obey them which have the rule over you. It's the word that rules us, not men. Now, as a man, as a husband, as head of the woman, he rules her. But the church is a woman too, and her ruler is the word. Jesus is the word. In the Ephesian church age again, he said, it started out in the early church. It was called deeds. Then it became a doctrine. It became the standard. It became the unbending way. It finally took over. And what happened? God was pushed aside, which is always what happens when you begin to take man's ideas instead of the word of God and begin to, like they did all down through the church ages, organize it until they had a pope over them. Oh, it started so small, so quietly, so inoffensively. It looked so good. It seemed so sound. Then it caught a hold. And like a python, it squeezed out the very breath and killed all the spirituality there was in the church. Now, that's what the Nicolaitan, that's why God hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. because it's strangling out all the spirituality, the signs and wonders, the liberty, the movement of the Holy Ghost, and the people that are sitting in the congregation. Oh, that false vine is subtle. It is like an angel of light until it gets a hold on you. Now, I want to say that I believe in leadership, but it is not the leadership of men I believe in. I believe in the leadership of the Holy Ghost coming through the Word. He said, I believe also that God has set men in the church, men who are gifted by the Spirit, and they will keep the church in order. I believe that. I believe also that the church is ruled over by men that God sends to take charge. But that rule is by the Word, so that it is not men really ruling, but the Spirit of God, for the Word and Spirit are one. He said, in the Ephesian church age, he said, Paul saw it coming, but he warned them about this subtle priesthood that would come and take over with its false doctrines. He knew they would implement a way of worship that excluded the people from any part in a Holy Spirit ministry. And even right today, among those who claim to be free and full of the Spirit, there is not too much freedom in the laity. And the best we can see is a few preachers with inspired preaching while the flock just sits there and tries to absorb it. This is a far cry from Paul, who said that when all came together, all had the leading of the Spirit, and what? All participated in spiritual worship. Oh, that's when you're really fulfilling, where we all have our licks of fire that we bring together and see here sitting together in the congregation. It's like one great big pillar of fire come together, because everybody's got their own relationship with God, not just one man. And the church corporate has never learned this lesson from the Scripture nor from history. Every time God gives a visitation of the Holy Spirit and people get free, after a while they bind themselves right back to the very thing they came out of. Amen. He said again, they set the Word aside, deny the work of the Spirit of God, subjugate the laity, and make it impossible for the laity to worship God unless they come through them or through their pattern, which is nothing but a blueprint of unbelief from Satan himself. Yeah. In the Smyrnian church, he said, the Lutheran revival never did rise up again. The Wesley revival never did rise up again. The Nazarene revival did not rise up again. Neither will the Pentecostal revival rise up again. Why? Because you killed it. You hybrid it with the world, with the Nicolaitan idea. Not let the Holy Ghost have its way. That's right. You hybrid the church, and it can't breed itself back again. So, what's the conclusion of the matter? Remember them which had the rule over you, not by ruling with man's ideas, whether with our own carnal thoughts or things to organize, like into a denominational system or something like that, but ruling with the Word, by preaching the gospel. Yes. So that the Holy Ghost can have liberty in the assembly. Yes. And change people's lives by the true teaching of the Word. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Why are you following? Because it's true according to the gospel, according to the Bible, considering the end of their conversation. In other words, remember your leaders and the consequences of their faith in God. And we examined that a few weeks ago, that you can look at the lives of the people that have been preaching the gospel and examine them and see the effect of the gospel on their life, and remember what their faith wrought in their own life, and that will give you confidence to believe that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what's that mean? Now, let's examine that for a little bit, that he would act the same. Now, there's a true understanding of the gospel that will give you liberty to know that he'll act the same that he did back there, yes. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Brother Branham said, if that is the same Spirit here as it was then, it'll manifest the Word like it did then. Now, you see how these things stack on one another. If you've got the true gospel being preached, that it will allow the true, genuine Holy Ghost to move. There's no difference in him at all. He lives in his church doing the same thing. That means that the same signs and wonders that were done in the early church could be done today, because he's still the same. Let's examine what he says here. He said, if that is the same Holy Spirit that was in the wilderness with Israel and also was in Jesus Christ, it's now in the church. It does the same works because it's the same light. It's the same spirit. If you could just believe that, friend. He said in Hot Springs, Arkansas, he said, and brother, when you try to read of a painted fire of Pentecost, and somebody tries to tell you that the Holy Spirit isn't the same today as it was then, somebody tries to tell you the days of miracles has passed, that Jesus Christ isn't the same yesterday, today, and forever, that they try to tell you, don't you believe it? Them is not pictures. God Almighty sent that message to you. That's right. It's for you and to your children, to them that's far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God is still God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is right here tonight to save the lost, to heal the sick, to fill the Holy Spirit, those who desire to be filled. And I pray maybe that now you go back and remember that picture I showed of the lion and the white horse rider. And maybe that will begin to unfold what that really represents, something fake to keep you from the true moving of the Holy Ghost, an antichrist spirit to prevent the Holy Ghost from having liberty in your life, and something genuine, something real, a lion that represents the power of the Holy Ghost moving in the people. Yes. And those two things are battling out. They're battling out right now. They're still moving. But God wants you to recognize that he is still the same as he always is. Right. Always has been. And Brother Bram said in the patriarch Abraham, he said, if you can't take that word test, then if you doubt it, a little suspicious of it, you can't hardly believe it. There's something or other, you can't believe it, then don't you come in the prayer line. I wouldn't even fool around the altar until you can get enough grace to know that God's word is true. And when you once break through that veil of unbelief, then you got the keys in your hands of death, hell, and the grave, because you've got a conqueror who conquered for you. Then you've got Hebrews 13:8 that tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, to see, to not recognize that he's still the same. It's like you having your mind veiled off to really the true essence of, and that's what the word was given to us, to break through those things so that God can have liberty in our life. Yes. He said in Wisdom versus Faith, how could a lily live, a lily seed live and grow when it thrives on waters, grow in one of those dusty denominations? Where that Nicolaitan spirit's moving, what to prevent the Holy Ghost from being able to move. How could it do it when it thrives on water? Water is the spirit. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power of the spirit. See, through the word falls on them, it can't grow. It can't grow, just like the word was on Eve, but it couldn't grow. Why? She accepted wisdom, Satan's wisdom. The word comes to them. The word falls on them. Sure, it does. It'll fall on them. They can hear the word preached. Did you ever see people sit in the church that never will make a move, preach to women about bobbed hair year after year, still got bobbed hair, talk to men about smoking, women about drinking? They drink right on just the same, just like pouring water on a duck's back. It ain't got no place to grow. It's that old pleasure-seeking popularity. Well, let the rest of the women do it first, then I will. I don't care what they do. It's your duty to follow the word of God. Though the word falls on them, it can't grow. Satan's wisdom, see, so it just becomes denominational dust. They can't believe in Hebrews 13:8. All puffed up with the wisdom, nothing for it to grow in. How can they believe Hebrews 13:8? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Couldn't do it. See, oh, they say they believe it. Oh, you tell them that. They say, sure, we believe it. Then show me the fruits of it. Let me see it. Let me see it being done. Let me see the church that you're preaching to do what they did in the first apostolic church then that believe the word. You see what he's saying? He's saying if you really believe Hebrews 13:8, it will produce the same Christ that was manifested in the early church age. You'll see that same God moving if you believe it like that. He said in scriptural signs of the time, remember our God is still the God of Elijah. He is still the God that he ever was. He is still the same God. He moves in the same cycle. He does the same thing. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've seen them stand dumbfounded, paralyzed and taken off the field, but God still remains God. He said, if I had listened to reasons, there would probably have been thousands of people died years ago, but I carried a message exactly like he said around and around the world. And I'm going again by the grace of God, not by reasons, but by a commission. I lean not. You say you're 55 years old. If I was 95, that don't mean a thing. Amen. And we'll stop on this as the musicians come forward. He is still the same God that he was with Abraham. He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still the same God to any man that's been called to take the word of God. God will stand by him if he don't be a coward. God bless you. Amen.